Hello, welcome back to Walker Wisdom. Today I'm joined in the studio with Amy Morin. She is the Associate Director of Finance and Operations. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, so I'm just going to start throwing questions at you. How would you describe your role at the BCMA?
Well, I think of my role as a facilitator. I help to facilitate the exhibitions that are coming into the museum through administrative support. So when our fabulous curators come up with these brilliant ideas for the exhibitions, and then they are working with artists or artworks to bring those pieces to our walls, I take a more behind-the-scenes role and help facilitate paperwork and payments and money processing, and also provide a certain level of support for the organization of exhibitions.
What does your day-to-day entail?
One of the things I love about this job is that my day-to-day has some level of familiarity, but every day is a little bit different, mm-hmm. right? It depends on what's going on with a particular exhibition. So each exhibition, while it has very standard tasks that need to be done, they're kind of carried out in a different way. So we're working with different vendors, or we're working with, you know, different partners to get that artistic vision created and on the walls. But every day I come in and I'm working with new people, and I have a different set of to-dos. So, but to give you some sense of the day-to-day for me involves coming into the office and checking email and checking Teams and seeing what messages have come in, and then responding to those and providing the support that comes through that. The finance side of my job tends to be a little more regular, in that I have, like, every week I have to process payments for bills, or I have to approve timesheets for payroll, or, you know, different functions like that that have to do with the financial management of the museum. But there's a lot of variety within my work as well.
Could you go over the career pathway that led you over to the BCMA today?
I love my career path. Of course, I'd love to share that with you. So I went to school and got my undergraduate degree in theater arts administration. Okay. I've always loved working in the arts. It was something I always knew I wanted to do, but I was not, I'm not a natural artist mm-hmm. at a professional level. So I sought out a career, academic path rather, that would allow me to study something in the field that I could do, and that did draw from the things that I am good at, which is organization and, you know, administrative support for artists. And so I got my degree in theater arts administration from Ithaca College, and then I moved to New York City, and I ended up getting my first job working for a foundation that supported artists with financial support. So mm-hmm. we were making financial contributions to artists who were very young in their careers. So it was supporting artists at a time when they needed those funds to help launch them. And then after that, I got a job with the ballet company. I worked for American Ballet Theater. Mm-hmm. And then I went on from there to work for a variety of different performing arts venues in a variety of different locations. I kind of moved around New York a lot. And most recently, before I came to Bowdoin, I was working in Boston, managing a theater there. Mm-hmm. So I have worked in my career. I have always worked in arts institutions, but I have worked for a variety. So I've worked for ballet, I've worked for opera, orchestras, music venues. I've done a lot of things, but it always comes back to the administration and the support of arts and arts mm-hmm. ventures.
How has that shift from performing arts to visual arts?
You know, I was really intimidated by it when I first started, because it was going into something new and trying something different after 25 years of working in the performing arts. But there's a lot of similarity. I mean, there's a ton that I am learning from my colleagues who are brilliant, and there's so many things. Like, when I come in on a daily basis, I'm always learning something new, so there is a lot to be learned. But I think the fundamental work that I do in administration and in management of finances and operations, it's the same work. So, you know, the process that we might be using to produce a piece of theater, which I've done a lot of work producing in my life, it's the same steps that we're taking to produce an art exhibition.
What influences pushed you to pursue a career in the fine arts?
Oh, gosh. My music teacher. I was a vocalist at one point when I was, you know, studying music growing up. I had this amazing vocal teacher who really wanted me to go down the path of a vocal performance. But we would have these wonderful conversations, and I would just say, I don't think this is me. Like, to be an artist in this world, artists have to be a very specific breed of people. And there's a characteristic and in kind of a personality and a skill set there that I knew inherently that I did not have. But I was really reluctant to own that in a deep, meaningful way, because I was afraid it meant that I had to step away. And so when I would have these conversations with my voice teacher, somehow we just kind of meandered down this path of, well, you know, Amy, there are other ways to work in the arts mm-hmm. than just being on stage. And so that's how I opened my mind to thinking that way. And then once I had that realization, once she helped me to have that realization, I started looking for programs that would support my interest. And then I would say the other very major influence for me was my parents, who I just am very, very fortunate to have incredibly supportive parents who were concerned about me entering a field in the arts, because let's face it, you know, sometimes that can be very challenging. Yeah. But they helped to provide me with the opportunities that led me to be successful in this career.
Why did you choose to shift from the performing arts to the visual art?
Well, I moved back to Maine. I had always, Maine is home to me. I grew up in Maine. I grew up in Lewiston. And I have lived for the past 25 years in major cities, right? Like I've had to be in places where there are huge art centers. And going through the pandemic and being the managing director for a theater that had to shutter the business for 18 months, I kind of came out of that experience. And I think that period of time caused us all to reevaluate yes. choices and different things in our lives, right? And so I went through my own kind of realization that what matters most to me in this world are the people in my life that I care about. And I decided that it was time for me to move home. But, you know, the amazing thing, Andrew, that happened was that I moved back to Maine. I left my job and I moved back to Maine before I got a new job. I was fortunate to be able to do that. And when I came back here, I thought I had given up on working in the arts.
Yes.
And I was perfectly prepared to go do something different. I didn't know what that something different was going to be. Mm-hmm. But when I got here, this job opened up. And it was like this kind of amazing realization that, you know, you can take a leap sometimes and it is scary, but things will happen and they will proceed as they're meant to be. Yes. And so for me, this is what it meant. It meant that I was able to come into a different area of the arts, but still work in the arts, which I really care about. So, but I acknowledge that there was a fair bit of luck in that moment.
And how do you see your background contributing to how you perform your work today?
When you work in the arts, oftentimes you have to be very resourceful and resilient and tenacious. And I think that those are skills that I bring to the table. I've honed those skills over years of running art centers and operating on very thin margins and just having to be very focused and diligent and tenacious really in my work. So I think that that is a specific skill set that I bring to this job. I also am somebody who has profound respect for artists and the work that they do. Mm-hmm. And so when I approach my work, I do it from a position of wanting very much to do everything that I can to support the artist and the unique gifts that they are bringing to the museum, to the students, to the community, to the, you know, the greater purpose, the people that we're serving, right? And I think that that has always been something that has contributed to my success as an arts administrator, because above everything else, above running a strong business, which I think is really important, I want to work in service to making sure that the community has access to art.
Yes. Do you find yourself collaborating with another department within the BCMA or and outside of it particularly often?
Yes, I love that I get to work on a daily basis with everybody that works at the BCMA.
Yes, yes.
Like my job is really awesome in that regard, because I have to interface with everyone on the staff and I think very highly of my colleagues. So that's really exciting to me. But I also have the added benefit of I work with folks in the development office and I work with folks in the finance office. And those are probably the two biggest departments that I work with or the departments that I work with most often. But my position is really a fortunate one in that I get to work with a lot of different people at Bowdoin.
How would you describe your work-life balance?
I think that Bowdoin is a great institution for helping you to manage work-life balance. I feel like we are supported here in ways that you don't find in other institutions because of the size and scope of what those institutions and those organizations have access to. So I think that the organization you're working for is really important to helping to define your work-life balance. I also think that sometimes it comes down to just having to set strong priorities for yourself and saying, you know, I am going to go to the gym today and sticking to it, you know, and that's hard because you get busy. Everybody gets busy, right? And you can have times in your life where one outweighs the other. I'm certainly have been guilty of that in my own life. But I think you just get to a point where you start to realize like, okay, I have to prioritize this right now because if you don't prioritize your health and your mental well-being and your happiness, you're not going to be good at your job.
Yes.
Like your job is going to suffer in the long run.
What surprised you most as you settled into your position here?
I think part of what surprised me in this position is the degree to which my background in the performing arts carried over. Mm-hmm. Again, there is a lot about the visual arts that I do not know in art in general or also museum management. There's a ton to learn, but there are so many ways in which having switched between artistic disciplines has been very, very familiar.
How has it been like working at an academic institution, engaging with students?
It's exciting to me, the energy that is on a college campus. I worked on a college campus once more in my career. And one of the things that I absolutely love about this type of environment is the energy that the students bring. And, you know, a lot of times, like, you're an intern for the BCMA, right?
Yes.
And in so many ways, I think there's this understanding that you are coming to us so that we can help with your development and your acquisition of skills and knowledge. But there's so much that we get from having interns around. There's a million things that I have learned from my interns over the years, and I'm still very fortunate that I have lasting connections with a number of my interns mm-hmm. because there's something really special that comes from that dynamic.
Yes. In your years of experience, have you seen a change in the way the fine arts field has changed in, like, let's say, the past decade?
Yes, I think that the arts, I can maybe speak a little more clearly from the standpoint of the performing arts. I feel like I still need to get to know mm-hmm. the fine arts a little bit better before I can speak as broadly on that. But I feel like support for arts and the financial structures that support arts ventures, and I'm going to say in the United States, it's a very challenging environment, and it's a challenge that is only getting harder as time progresses and marches on. The face of philanthropy, I believe, is changing, and so much of nonprofits arts enterprises rely on philanthropy that is kind of scary to me. Yes. that we're seeing those shifts in philanthropy. And I think that, you know, we all know right now, especially the cost of living is just going through the roof, and it is for arts organizations as well. But our ability to either raise contributed income through contributions or raise earned income through ticket sales or admission sales, if we were at a, you know, museum that charged admission, that is shifting right now. And that's really scary to me, because if we don't find ways to shore up the financial foundation for arts organizations of all kinds, we're going to start seeing more and more arts organizations closing their doors. And I think that we were on that progression and we were heading down that road for several years. And then the pandemic just exacerbated that challenge.
That's a very interesting take. I've never heard, like, the financial side of what's changing in the field right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it comes from the chair I sit in, but to me, we're never going to stop having brilliant people who produce great art, mm-hmm. right? Like, that is just something that I do believe is going to carry on. But the organizations that support those artists and give them the gateway to share their work,
yes.
that's where I'm deeply concerned, is about the health and well-being and ability to have a long and successful life cycle for those organizations.
So with these shifts, how has that impacted your work?
It impacted my work pretty dramatically when I was working for an independent nonprofit. Mm-hmm. I would say right now in this moment here at Bowdoin, I am not feeling that pinch quite as much. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to note, though, that I've only been in this position for a few months. I'm brand new to this community and to this organization. So I'm sure that if you asked me that in a year's time, my answer might be a little different. But having come from, you know, a private nonprofit, I think that the pandemic kind of ripped the bottom out of everything that we did. Mm-hmm. I'll use my last position as a managing director of a producing theater. Mm-hmm. What shifted for me is that more of my time had to go into fundraising, mm-hmm. which isn't a bad thing per se, but the work that has to get accomplished is still the same amount of work, right? Yes. But you're just spending a greater portion of your time on, in this particular case, fundraising. The other thing that came out of the pandemic is that I think employees had a shift in their thinking about their work-life balance. You asked about that earlier. Yes. And we saw a pretty fundamental shift in what employees' experiences in the workplace were prior to the pandemic and then after. So in small organizations like the one that I came from that was, you know, had a pretty modest staff, there was a much greater need for HR level support, which in my old position, I wore that hat. And so I had to come up to speed very quickly on some HR processes and practices that I never had to face before in my career. So it was this, you had to learn and you still have to learn fast to get up to speed on what it is that the position is requiring of you. And then you also have to find the time to implement and to do that successfully. And so, you know, looking at those two particular examples of how things have changed, if you don't have the money to operate, mm-hmm. well, that's a challenge that's really going to shake the organization. And then the most valuable resource that you have are the human beings who work for you, right? So the skills and the labor and the energy that those people are bringing to the job. So you have to shore up that workforce and keep folks happy and have a happy workforce or fulfilled workforce. We're not always happy in the workplace all the time, yes. but which is fine, but you have to be able to support your staff in a way that allows them to do their jobs well.
Yes. What is the most memorable experience you've had here during the BCMA, but also like in the past?
Gosh, my most memorable experience. So here and at the BCMA, I had this awesome experience. We had an exhibition opened and one of the curators had given a talk and I was going through the gallery talk and she shared an anecdote about the artist that was on exhibition and I loved it so much. It was a story that I had. Like, I just really appreciated the story that she had shared. Mm-hmm. And then we had a visitor to the museum who I just happened to come across in the gallery. And I repeated back the story that had been so impactful to me, to the visitor. And her face lit up and she had this wonderful moment and she engaged with the artwork in this really different way. And I think to me, that was a really cool experience because it was this instance of me being new in an environment, you know, that I am still learning about and an art form that I am still learning a lot about, but I was still able to engage with someone and share something that changed their experience at the museum, which was really cool.
What would you say is the most rewarding part of your role?
To me, the most rewarding thing about being an arts administrator is when I do have those moments where I can stand in the background and watch people have these really profound experiences interacting with the arts. And that has been true for me in every discipline of the arts that I have worked in. I love standing behind the scenes and watching the face of the people whose lives are being changed by what they're experiencing. And that it's what fuels my desire to come to work every day. It's really what drives me.
What is one piece of advice you would give to those entering the fine arts field?
Do it. Just do it. It's scary. You're going to have a million naysayers who tell you, why are you approaching a career in the arts? Like, that's crazy. That's crazy. You're not going to make it. If you are someone who wakes up every morning and can't imagine yourself doing anything else, do not let those naysayers take that opportunity away from you. You will have plenty of time to make your own assessments about whether a career in the arts is working for you or whether it's not. And you can always change your mind, but you will always regret not trying if you don't try.
Thank you so much for coming today, Amy. It was very, very nice talking to you today.
It was great talking to you too, Andrew. Yeah. Thank you for asking.
Well, thank you so much for listening.